now going into prisons and ministering God's word, extending forgiveness to people who have killed members of his own family. And I would ask you this morning, or suggest to you, if forgiveness is possible after that kind of a genocide, then perhaps there is hope for the comparatively smaller rifts that plague our personal relationships, our community, and in fact, our nation today. I would have never imagined that the paper that I did for my master's on forgiveness, based really on the life of Joseph, how it would impact and be used in probably thousands of lives today without exaggeration. And Dennis Lennon says this: we may take it as a principle that God will be working at the point where the world aches. And our world today is aching for forgiveness. People are trying all kinds of things. And you may be here this morning trying to figure out a way to somehow deal with your anger either at God or yourself or at others. You see, probably one of the most difficult people we will ever forgive is ourselves. We've all done things that we wish we had never, ever even conceived of. And then there are things that people have done to us. And I can't tell you how many times in my office as a therapist I've heard people say, I will never forgive that person. And somebody in the situation said and added, if it's the last thing I do, and somebody said, and probably will be the last thing you do. If you don't learn to forgive yourself and others, you're stuck. I believe that wherever we do not deal with the issue of forgiveness, from that point on, we're actually going in circles in our lives. Because progress is virtually impossible. So, I've got this switched on. Press forward. Well, I'm not sure. I'm going to let you take over. There we go. Okay, there we go. You did that. Well, I'm going to let you take over, and I'll give you the thumbs up when I want you to advance. How's that? It has nothing to do with forgiving Ellen. It has to do with my ignorance in technology. So, that too.
You started this, Arnie.
And somebody else is going to have to finish it. Okay, so what does forgiveness actually mean? It has the idea of sending away, letting go. It means to lift up or away or to be gracious to. So we need to look at this then from the opposite perspective. If it means a sending away, a letting go, or being gracious to, then the opposite is, of course, to hang on to, right? To get all tied up and not being able to let go. And it can be large things, it can be small things, and it is at that choice where there's an at that point, pardon me, where there's a where we're offended or we offend somebody else, that we have a choice to make. I guess it's probably about 10 days ago that somebody approached me in the building, and I can't repeat the names that this person called me, and accused me of all kinds of stuff. And fortunately, and this, I want to encourage you to do the things that I'm trying to teach and I'm trying to practice. I talk a lot about stepping in or stepping back to my clients. We either react or we respond. And when this person just railed at me in the car garage, by God's grace, I was able to just step back and say, I choose, and I said to this lady, I said, I choose not to respond to you. And other people are going to deal with her, because you see what happens when we defend ourselves. What does that indicate usually? We're guilty. We have something to defend. But you know, if we really understand God's forgiveness of us, and what did we pray in the Lord's Prayer? We forgive others. How? As we have been forgiven. You see, forgiveness will not be so difficult for us once we understand what and how we have been forgiven by God. Would you give us a forward there? Right here. So we're left. You see, when there's an offense of some kind, there are different emotions. There can be fear and anger and all kinds of stuff. And then, you see, we come to a choice point. On the left is revenge and unforgiveness and so on. And if that was a little bit higher, we would read at the bottom of the left-hand line, we would read the word war. Because that's where we end up. We end up in a battle with ourselves and or with others. It's okay. We'll manage. If we don't forgive, we end up with war. But you see, if we choose to forgive, we go to the right-hand column, and there are still two options for us. You see, sometimes when people do things that are wrong, they recognize that wrong, and what do? They come and repent, and they say, look, I screwed up. I'm wrong. I was wrong. I did this. I said this. I am guilty. I'm culpable. Here's the money, or will you please forgive? Whatever it takes. But you see, the chances of that happening on a regular basis are about how big? Basically zero to none, right? So this is the problem in forgiveness. If you or I are going to wait until people come and repent, it depends on who dies first, you see. Because a lot of people are not going to come. But you see, if people do not come, then we are left with an extreme right-hand column. And there is, if you look up my name up on the website or whatever, and there's going to be a couple of handouts back there for those of you who still just do paper like myself. This entire paper on forgiveness is available either by Googling my name and or a copy at the back. And you can just email us if you want, and we can email you a copy. But you see, we're left, what we have to arrive at eventually is personal resolution. There are some people, like one of my profs used to say, they're born in a negative case in a kickative mood. They're not going to change their minds. The only person you can change is? Okay, this therapy session is free, okay? You can only change yourself. And so you and I are responsible for our future and for our health, emotionally and spiritually and in many other ways. So this morning, I want to remind us that Jesus said that he came in John chapter 10. 10, what did he promise there? Anybody can tell me what he promised in John 10, 10?
Life.
I came to give you life and?
Life more abundantly.
Life more abundantly, or I call it life to the max. And I find that people are living with their flag, just a quarter way up the mast. My illustration is I want to fly my flag at the top, where the wind of the Spirit can catch it. And that means that I'm going to have forgiveness being up to date. So this morning, in a few minutes, I want to talk about, what forgiveness is not. And if we can get an advance on the slide there, and can we put up the first one? First of all, forgiveness is not condoning or belittling the offense. You see, what we often do is we say, well, you know, compared to so-and-so, what happened to me is blah, blah, blah. No, that's nonsense. If it happened to you, it affected you, and if it's still there in the back of your mind, then don't belittle it. Don't try and act as though it didn't happen. You need to deal with it. So forgiveness is not condoning or belittling the offense. And secondly, it's not forgive and forget. I can prove to you that you forget absolutely nothing. You smell a scent. You see a sweater. You hear the voice of someone. Boom, you're going to be right back there. You're going to have those memories. You're that little child cringing in the corner. Whatever the situation was, we don't forget anything. We need to learn how to process what we remember. You see, the scripture says that God casts our sins behind his back. It says he puts them in the depths of the sea there to remember them no more. Does that mean that God gets amnesia? No. It means that just like us, we choose when we remember, when we're triggered, we choose not to reprocess that again. And we'll talk more about the positive stance about that. And thirdly, it's not a denial of the pain, of the anger, or whatever emotions we may feel. What I've discovered is that when we try and suppress our emotions, I have discovered that anger and depression are simply opposite sides of the same coin. It's not legal for me to go around and punch you when I feel you've offended me. So what do? I turn that anger inward and get depressed. So whether it's anger or depression, it's often the result of simply suppressing things that we actually should be processing. Dan Allender, in his book, The Wounded Heart, calls it the sin of self-protectionism. So we put a wall around ourselves. And I may well repeat this again before I'm finished. If you can never be hurt again, and I've heard a lot of people say, I'm going to never let anybody hurt me again. What else is true? If you can't be hurt, you can't be loved. Think about it. If no one can hurt you, that also means that nobody can love you. And that's why a lot of marriages go down the hole. Because people have been hurt before. And they say, I'm never going to let you get that close to me. Well, then you will live with the consequences. I've had them in my office not very many weeks ago, going through the fourth divorce. And I always ask the same question. Do you see any similarities between each of these divorces? And I had a guy actually say to me, no, there's no similarity. And I hardly responded to him. If you are that dense that you cannot see that there's a pattern in your life, if you want to pay me $120 an hour to tell me lies, go ahead. Craziness. There is a pattern in our lives. And if we will stop, and one of the things that I give clients often work to do, if you can call it that, said, when have you last gone to the ocean and sat on a rock and tried to figure out why you are where you are? It's a good exercise. I try to do it myself fairly regularly. Arnie, what's going on? Why do you feel this way? And the psalmist asked it, why are you upset? Putting it in the vernacular. And then he asked that several times. Why are you upset? The psalmist writes. And then he goes on, he says, put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Fourthly, forgiveness is not dependent on the repentance of the person who has harmed us. And we've already, in a sense, alluded to that. You see, if we're going to depend on somebody else, what if they never come? What if they've died? I've had situations where people have died and the person has lived with unforgiveness all of their lives. What, I ask you, if Christ had waited till you or I repented, till he died on the cross. It says we love him because he first what?
Loved us.
He always takes the initiative. And you and I, if we are going to become Christ-like, must always take the initiative in forgiveness. So we need to remind ourselves of why we forgive. We forgive first and foremost in order to free ourselves. We need to free ourselves. Because you see, the only person who suffers the most when we do not forgive is ourselves. And so we literally cordon ourselves off from deep, abiding relationships with one another and certainly with God. To restore our relationships, we need to learn, if you can call it that, forgive God, forgive ourselves, and forgive others. Of course, God does not need forgiving. But in our warped way of thinking, we think that God has dealt us somehow from the bottom of the deck. But God is good. He does not plan evil. He does not plan sin. He didn't plan that somebody else should do something unjust to you. That's not the point. The point is that it happened. We are living in a fallen, in a fallen world. And in that process, we all are harmed in one way or another. The issue is, not have we been harmed, but when we are harmed, what will we do with that? And what the other thing that forgiveness doesn't do, it does not restore things back to their original, okay? It's not synonymous with restoration of things the way they once were. God forbid, but if a woman has been raped, that's happened. If money has been stolen from you, somebody has treated you unjustly, that is history. That has happened. You cannot restore that. You cannot change that. The only thing you can do, in most cases, is find forgiveness for that. For yourself, toward others, and move on. So then, if forgiveness is not the above, then what is it? What is forgiveness then? I want to suggest to you first and foremost that forgiveness is a decision of the will. It's like love. I have to decide. Am I going to continue to live this way? Or am I going to live with freedom? Am I going to run my flag to the top of the pole? And am I going to allow the wind of the Spirit to blow in my life and live as Jesus promised, experiencing life to the full? So often, I tell my clients, forgiveness is a decision of the will at a point in time which is reinforced over a period of time. You see, because it's not a matter of if you will remember, but when you will remember, then what will you do? And so what happens with a lot of people, and let me put it in a positive sense, how will you know that you have actually forgiven somebody? Because I've often had people say to me, well, I can remember. Does that mean I haven't forgiven them? I said, no, it doesn't mean that at all. What it means is that you have a good memory, just like the rest of us, especially if we've been harmed. Here's the issue. Here's the sign that you are moving forward in the area of forgiveness. It's not a matter of not remembering. It's a matter of what does that memory evoke? What does it work in you? What happens to you when you remember? You see, if you've made a decision to forgive someone and you stand in that forgiveness mode as a way of life, so it's a decision made at a point in time, it is a decision that is reinforced over a period of time. So every time I have the memory of what that lady did to me in the car crash 2 weeks ago, I say, thank you, Father, that you have forgiven me and that I have forgiven this woman. Satan, get out of here in Jesus' name. I am not reliving those emotions. I'm not going back there. I'm not allowing that past experience to dominate the present. And you'll be surprised. You begin to do that as a way of life. And the first thing is, I call it, affirm the truth, resist the lie. Thank you, God, for your forgiveness toward me. Thank you, God, that you have enabled me to forgive this other person. Get out of here, Satan. I'm not going down this road one more time. You'll find that the memory, the pain, becomes less and less and less as you stand in that mode. I often say you need to talk to yourself more than listen to yourself. Stop listening to that nonsense. We need to do some positive self-talk. And sometimes we need to do it out loud. Say, just a minute, smarten up here. This is dealt with. This is history. You know, this is what Satan wants. If he's not been able to stop you from forgiving that person, he's going to try and stop you from enjoying the forgiveness that Jesus purchased on your behalf. His plan is to stop you from experiencing life to the max. Don't ignore the emotion that arises. Deal with it. Secondly, in forgiveness, we absorb the pain and let the offender go free. I'm not going to retell. I could tell you stories over and over and over again of things that have happened to me personally. And I believe that they've had to happen in many cases, not because God necessarily planned for them to happen, but I needed to learn this lesson, and I needed to learn it thoroughly because of what was done to me as a child and the things that God knew that I would be exposed to. I've had a car stolen from me. I've gone and given basically the last bit of savings out of our bank account to a person who told me this great pack of lies. You see, and we've had people live in our home who have robbed us, who got into our banking system. And we could go on and on. We're not heroes. It's just the fact that's life. And you have your own stories. And I remember our neighbor saying to us, Jane, she said to us, I imagine you guys will still continue to have people stay with you. And I said, absolutely. If you think I'm going to let some kook who lives in a way that they're going to rob people and steal from them, if you think that they are going to control the way we live our lives, you're wrong. We can choose. We can choose. Now, what that's meant for us, sometimes we have to do a little more due diligence. But, you know, I'm not so sure, for instance, in that case in Souk, that we could have done very much, because the RCMP came to us after the fact and he said to me one day, he showed up and he said, you know, Arnie, he said, I'm sorry. He said, what we've discovered is that this person is a professional fraud artist. And they have been in jail twice for this in the past. But they have a different name every time they show up. And you got stuck. You got snookered. And as I said before, if you cannot be hurt again, you can't be loved. Thirdly, in forgiveness, we give up our supposed rights to punish, and we leave justice and judgment in the hands of God. What did the Lord say? He said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. I will repay. Listen, when people wrong you and you forgive them and they don't change their ways, they may be off your hook or my hook, but you know what? They're not off God's. God is just. He says, justice is mine and I will repay. People have a choice. And I tell you, I could tell you again, story after story of people right here in Victoria where a contractor took advantage of a widow. I could tell stories about what happened in Uganda where we've had things stolen from us. You report these things, you do what you can, but there comes a point at which you say, God, you are just. You are fair. And you see, God sees not just the outside thing that's happened, He knows the heart. He knows the motivation. We don't spend our time holding a grudge, but get on with life. And fourthly, in forgiveness, we become emotionally unhooked. Number four, we become emotionally unhooked. And see what happens, if I do not, is there not another one? Okay, thank you. What happens if we don't forgive, we are emotionally tied to the person who has harmed us, who has stolen from us, who has taken our virginity, whatever it is. And that person that we don't forgive, just think about this, that person eats with us at the table. That person rides with us on the bus or in our car. And even worse, they slide under the covers with us every night. How? They're right here. They're in charge. Because you've never released them. You've never let them go. And so you have somebody who may well even forgotten who you are, and they're still in charge. Just think of how ludicrous that is. And so therefore, forgiveness means becoming emotionally unhooked. And we take the power away from the perpetrator. And that is why we need to not only forgive others, but ourselves, and find God's forgiveness. Because actually, our health depends upon it, emotionally, spiritually, and in every other way. Further, fifthly, what does forgiveness result in? Forgiveness results in what I call three-dimensional freedom. And unforgiveness, I find, is like trying to drive somewhere and continually looking in the rearview mirror. It's fine to glance to check who's following, but you know what? You're in a lot of trouble ahead if all you do is look in the mirror. That's a tough way to function. But a lot of people are just shoulder checking all the time. There's a paranoia that says, everybody's after me. They're out to get me. And I know they're watching. What are you doing? You're giving away your power. You're giving away your freedom. You're giving away your joy. And so, first of all, the three-dimensional freedom means freedom from the pain of the past. And like I said before, the sign that forgiveness is really working its work is the pain becomes less and less and less as you continue to stand in that forgiveness mode. You need to make a decision at a point in time, then reinforce it over a period of time. So freedom from the pain of the past. And secondly, freedom to enjoy the present. Man, it changes everything. Food tastes better. Sleep is better. Your sex life is going to be better. Your concentration is going to be better. And your relationships, for sure, are going to be better. Why? Because you're not... You see, whatever, anything that isn't dealt with in our lives, if I can picture it this way, it's a container that has a hole in the bottom, and you can't pour enough in because there's more going out. And that's what undealt with things are. They're an emotional drain on us. They're a spiritual drain, and they stop us from living the life. Jesus said he came to give us life that overflows. If you read John chapter 7, it says, Jesus, on that last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if anybody's thirsty, he said, and he yelled it out, he said, let him come to me and drink. For what purpose? That out of his innermost being, there flow rivers of living water. See, God has put us here on earth to be people who give a drink to thirsty people. And that's the result of an overflow. That's the result of living life in freedom and life to the max. And thirdly, this three-dimensional freedom results in the anticipation of the future. You see, if we've run our flag to the top of the pole, say, God, I wonder what you're going to do today. How are you going to open doors today? How are you going to set up divine appointments for me? Because he does. He wants to do that. But if we aren't anticipating, if we aren't believing, Jesus said all it takes is faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. We need to believe that God is at work in us and through us to accomplish his purpose. Forgiveness helps us to anticipate the future. So I want to ask you as we move toward the close of things, have you allowed the enemy to rob you? Are you living in a deficit position? If you were given a piece of paper this morning, which is what the paper does, I'll show this to you so you know what it looks like. There's a couple of copies back there, and in the paper it says what to do. How about if you sit down and you make a list? You'll be amazed if you ask the Holy Spirit to come and put his protective wall around you and make a list of those people who you believe have harmed you, those things that you have done that are still niggling away at you, you'd be surprised. I've had people who wrote out literally pages of stuff, and some people just need to read or write down one or two simple things, because those are the things that have been eating away at them in their life and stopping them from enjoying what God has purposed and planned for them. A great model for this, if you want to get a real picture of what forgiveness looks like, go back to the book of Genesis, start at chapter 37, and read to the end of chapter 50, the story of Joseph. And we have such a perfect picture of both the negative and the positive about forgiveness. You see, Joseph's brothers had never forgiven themselves for what they did to their brother Joseph, and they had never had the courage and the decency to come to their brother and say, "Will you forgive us for what we did to you?" So after the old man dies, that Joseph now, who has been sold by his brothers, he's been framed by Potiphar's wife, he's been chucked in jail, he's been left there to languish for years and years. The butler and the baker forget him. Read the story. Reread it. It's amazing. Joseph's brothers now come. The old man has died, and they think, aha, now is payday. Joseph is going to get us. And they come, and it says, first of all, they send somebody ahead of them because they're too free. And then they finally come and they throw themselves down before Joseph. And they said, "We're your slaves. Yeah, we've had it." And what is Joseph's response? He said, "Am I in the place of God?" You see, here's the picture. Joseph had forgiven his brothers. And he was, all these years he had been free to serve, and he had been raised to a high place in order to save all of Egypt from starvation. And his brothers were all these years groveling, never living in freedom. And I believe that very often what we do is we literally shorten our lives because we do not know how or refuse to handle the wrongs that have been done to us. And Joseph says, "Am I God that I can punish you?" And the last few words of that sentence are so powerful. He says, "You intended to harm me." Do you know the last phrase? "But God intended it for good. For the saving of all of these people." Listen, I'm going to say it again. God does not intend for you to be harmed. What God intends, and that is my last point of what forgiveness actually is, God's intention in all harm is that it would be used for good in your and my life. You see, those things that would normally destroy us and stunt us and keep us in that groveling mode and stop us from blossoming and being effective as God's representatives here on earth. Those very things, when yielded to God and processed properly in forgiveness of ourselves and of others, can then be used as an instrument in God's hand. I can't tell you how many times I've been able to look a client right smack in the eye and say, "Do you know what? I actually understand. That makes sense to me." And I only tell enough to let them know that I know. I don't ever go into all the details of the crazy things, and nor need you, because all that does is rip off the old scab again. But you'd be surprised if you let God work his work in your life. No matter what it is that has happened to you, I think our friend Lise is probably one of the best illustrations. Her husband, who was in the military, she was married in Quebec, couldn't speak a single word of English, and her honeymoon was on a train from Montreal to Vancouver, and she caught her husband in a sleeping car with another woman. She's on her honeymoon now, okay? And the rest of the story becomes more horrific. So that she's saving potato peels to feed her infant son. So she's working in a restaurant and working as a prostitute to try and keep body and soul together to bring up her son. And I can remember when I was pastoring in Nanaimo, she was telling me her story. And I can honestly say to you that at the end of those sessions, and I wasn't trained as a therapist in those days, but I asked God to wipe those stories from my mind. And I honestly can't repeat most of them because I don't remember them. God was gracious to me. But you know what? That lady has been in I don't know how many countries in this world, because her husband was an engineer and traveled all over the place on huge projects. She's baptized people in pools, in her swimming pool, in lakes, in rivers, and discipled I don't know how many women in how many continents. And today she's a bona fide counselor. That which the enemy intended to absolutely destroy this person's life has now been used for incredible blessing. What about you? What about you? Can you imagine what God has for you? Can you just imagine what God wants to do in and through your life? If you will take that hurt and that pain and all that misunderstanding, all that injustice, stop trying to figure it out, because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that people would do the things that they do to other people. That's the result of sin in our broken world. Get alone. Make a list. Pray God's protection. Ask the Holy Spirit for direction. List the names, the people, the situations, and then write a letter. God forbid that you never, ever, ever, ever send. I've seen people do this and talk. If you want a mess, send the letter. That'll do it every time. Be chaos for the next 2 decades or till you die. You write the letter. This is what you did to me, or this is what I did. This is how it has affected me and or continues to affect me.
There's a screen
with my mom. Is it on there?
I think so.
Is there another screen? Let's see if there is. Fine. There it is. There's the letter. And it's at the back of this paper that's the handout. So here's just a sample of the letter you sent. Dear so-and-so, and maybe your own name there. This is what you did to hurt me. This is how it continues to affect me. And here's my decision. I forgive as God You know, I remember that I'm not a perfect forgiver. But as God has forgiven me, I choose to forgive myself and or forgive the person who has harmed me. And you'll be amazed at what will begin to happen. Your life will begin to be transformed. And as I've said before from this pulpit, all the women that have been raped in my classes in Uganda, I can't tell you how many of them have taken and written that letter. And then what I ask people to do, take it to somebody you trust. Take it to somebody that you really trust. Don't just treat it lightly. Very often when people bring that letter to my office, and sometimes they bring a stack of them, write a letter or a paragraph for every situation that you're reminded of. And then read them out loud to somebody that you trust. And you'd be surprised, the healing that begins to take place. Why? Because now you've named it. You've voiced it. You put a voice to it. You've allowed your emotions to enter into it. And it's there that you can have somebody pray with you, and you can say, Lord, I choose by an act of my will to forgive as you have forgiven me. I declare freedom and wholeness and health, mentally, spiritually, physically. Our lives can literally be transformed. I know if I mentioned prior to this one time, there's actually a psychologist who did a detailed study on people who were in prison. And he claims that probably 75 to 90% of people could be released and be mentally whole and healthy. People who had mental illness designations, they could be completely released and be completely whole if they would learn to forgive. Forgiveness is a pivotal issue. And that's what the Bible is all about, is it not? It is God coming like he did to the Israelites, who are the prime illustration, finding them in bondage, in slavery, and redeeming them with a sacrifice. In that case, the blood of a lamb. But Jesus is that lamb whose blood was poured out that you and I, as we sang before, may be set free. So this morning, as Pastor Paul leads us in communion, let's remember that forgiveness is such a powerful thing, and communion is really a reminder of that very thing. We celebrate God's forgiveness of us, and to participate in that without making a determination to forgive others is really sacrilegious. I don't know what else you would call it. It's to say, I want to be forgiven, I want to receive this, but I'm not going to extend it. Well, that doesn't even make sense. But God's plan is that we may have life, and we may have it to the max. God bless you as you walk into it.